Doing?
Great.
Good. Glad to hear it. I'll give you a dad update as far as I know. He's doing pretty good. Swelling going down more. He's doing his exercises. He's got some pretty good flexibility. I think he said the other day he bent at 90 degrees, which is pretty good. And he's working at it. I know he's still sore because me and Jim can attest to you're sore for a while. But he's doing good. And I know he appreciates your prayers. And I don't think it'll be too long and we'll see him walking in here, maybe with a little help of some kind, but that's all right. He'll be walking. You know, Rich, I don't want you to think we are being disobedient to you this morning, but before I get started, I want Joe to come up, and I want her to share the experience that she had Thursday morning. So we'll let her do that.
Mark asked me to share kind of what the Lord spoke to me on Thursday. So a lot of times he'll wake me up from a dead sleep because I'm always tired. But he woke me up at 1 o'clock on Thursday morning and told me how to pray for my brother. I haven't been praying a lot for him. I am hoping and believing for a healing for him. But he told me to pray that the breath of God would breathe on my brother and that his dry bones would come to life. And so I started praying that immediately. I prayed that for a long time. And then I looked up. I thought, well, that has to be in the Bible somewhere if he's telling me that. So I looked it up, and it's in Ezekiel. And I'm going to read it. It's called Ezekiel 37, and it's the Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay down sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put on my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in our own land. Then ye shall know that the Lord have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. That was all.
So, you know, God does all things well. And you know, she sent that to Deb the other morning and told her about that. And then this morning, Clyde comes in and he brings his Charles Stanley book he's got. January the 17th, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. That was the scripture for today out of Clyde's Charles Stanley book. No, stay right here for a second. So I want to do something. I want us to take a minute as a collective body, and I want us to pray for Josh for a couple minutes. That's all right. And anyone who feels led to pray out, please do. I'll start. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life that's in your word. And the direction that comes from your word, Lord. Lord, I pray that you touch Josh's body in the ways that he needs, Lord. You've already touched him in some ways, Lord, and we're not selling that short. But Lord, there's more ways that he needs your touch. And Lord, I know that Josh is probably closer to you right now than he's ever been in his whole life, in the middle of this horrible, rough situation, Lord. But I ask you to help him to get even deeper, to dive even deeper into you, Lord. And I think we all could be amazed at what happens, Lord, if we just will believe in you for him, Lord.
This morning I was praying for the dis-ease to be out of the spirit of the body of the Lord as far as our church body and the body of Christ. And I'm going to ask that for my brother as well today because he is a part of the body of Christ.
Thank you.
Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm sure that Josh has been revealed this and God has shown Josh this, but boy, has Josh seen the love of his mom and dad.
So, you know, Joey and I, we enjoy being together. We've been a couple for a long, long time. And, you know, we spend a lot of time laughing, and that's a good thing. So I don't think she'll mind me telling you this, that, you know, Thursday morning, I woke up at 2:34, and she was sitting up in the bed next to me with her phone on, and the light was on. And I said, what are you doing, babe? And she said, God woke me up with a scripture, and I was reading it, that I'm supposed to pray for Josh. And I said, okay. And I got up and I went to the bathroom, and I came back, and my phone made a text message alarm sound, which is, you know, whatever my sound is. And she said, that's just me. I'm texting you this scripture. I was okay. So for the next few minutes, my phone was going, like ridiculously, to the point where she says, oh my gosh, turn the volume off. So I let it finish, and I put my glasses on, and I read the scripture. Oh, it ain't like one like to guess, just by chance. What she read you before was 14 verses. Guess how many text messages that turned into on my phone? 34 text messages. So I read it, put my glasses on, I read it, and I could see why, you know, that was something that God had told her to look at. And I took my glasses off and I laid down, and I waited a minute, and I said, hey, Joe, when you get a chance, will you do me a favor? And she said, yeah, what's that? I said, text me the whole Old Testament, will you? So we had a good laugh at 2:30 in the morning. And anyway, it was kind of funny. So, you know, I've told you guys probably to ad nauseum that I'm a music lover and that music speaks to me and God uses that. And, you know, soul music is my favorite kind of music, period. Just is. Otis Redding, Sam Cooke, Wilson Pickett, Sam and Dave, that kind of stuff. I could listen to that all day long and not get tired of it. Anything else I get tired of after a while. And I'm sure it probably comes from my dad. He was a Temptations fan and Smokey Robinson and the Miracles and stuff like that when he was young. And so there's this group that's out right now, and they sound like a 60s, kind of a 70s soul group is how they sound. And as you can imagine, they don't sell millions of records, but, you know, or CDs or whatever. But, you know, they have a nice little career going, I guess. And I saw last weekend on a little news story thing on my phone that the guy who is the drummer for this group, he's also like a co-lead singer for the group. He sings falsetto, you know, real hot. And he's put out his own album by himself, a solo album. The guy's name is Aaron Frazier. And, you know, like I said before, God does all things well. And sometimes it's kind of amazing the way he does things, you know. And you know that I don't sing. And I definitely don't sing falsetto. I don't know if Dale, did you get any singing genes from your family, or did Larry get them all? Okay. So I won't ask you to sing real high either, Dale. Okay. I didn't think you did. So this song that I saw that this guy has out, the name of the song is My God Has a Telephone. And it was written by this guy, Aaron Frazier, and a guy named Micah Blackman, and a guy named Wyndham Baird. And this is the words to this song. It starts out with a ooh, and then it starts out with an ah, which I'm not doing justice to because it sounds pretty good, actually. And then he says, when I need a small reminder, when my legs can't find the road, when I'm heavy with my burden, so my back, it's tired and bowed. Got these questions I collected. He brings the answer to my ear. Because my God has a telephone. Hear it ringing in the morning. My God has a telephone. Hear him calling out a warning. It may be long distance, but you know there ain't no fee. All it takes is just persistence. And he's on the line with me. You can reach him any hour, and his voice is loud and clear. Call him up, feel the power. Make a deaf man begin to hear. Winter, spring, or fall, I hear his call to put my faith over fear. My God has a telephone. Hear it ringing in the morning. My God has a telephone. Hear him calling out a warning. My God has a telephone. Hear it ringing in the morning. And I thought, I read that song and I thought, okay, Lord. Joey got the call the other morning, kind of early, but she answered it. And God spoke to her, and he had some answers for her and some direction for her. Now, I heard a lady the other day on the radio talking. I was driving to work, and she said that when we are in need of rescue, God is the answer. Every one of us should say amen to that. Now, Random House Dictionary says that rescue means to free or save from danger, captivity, deliver, liberate, ransom. Now, every one of us who has given our life back to the Lord, we tried to have it for our own for a while, and we've given it back to him. We did so at a point where we needed to be rescued. Now, whether your testimony is heartbreaking, shocking, or just kind of mundane, kind of not too exciting compared to some other people's story, we all needed something more than what we had. And Jesus was the answer that we were looking for. You know, God is in the rescue business, spiritual, physical, emotional. He handles them all. In Psalm 35, verses 1 to 3, David says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And then in verse 17, he says, Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions. In John 4, verses 4, it says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he into a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that said thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now this woman, she was rescued from herself and this unaddressed sin that she had. And when she went to town and told the people about Jesus, more people were saved too. So she was rescued, and she may not have known she needed rescuing because she was doing her thing. In John 8, it says, And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hast no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, this woman was rescued in the face of sure death because she was going to be stoned. In Luke 19, verse 1, it says, And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he has gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forsomuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now Zacchaeus was saved as he sought the Lord. Because you know what? I'd say he had a life of empty wealth. He sought more, and he found it. Now the Bible is one story of rescue from the Genesis through Revelations. So I'm not reading them all. It's just God brought a few different ones for me to look at. Now I kind of have a question, you know, for you. Have any of you known someone who seems like they need to be rescued over and over and over and over and over again in life? I think we all do. I think we're all related to some. We all might be one. I don't know. If we look at it real honestly. And you know, when I was sitting around thinking yesterday and kind of waiting on the Lord, he made me think of Nell from Dudley Do Right. Remember, Snively Whiplash got her every time, and Dudley had to go save her somehow. Now, the other day I was listening to these two guys talking about security. They were talking about locks and keys, and it's kind of a nerdy podcast, you know, I was listening to while I was working. And they said that kind of the original security system, if you go back, was a wall built around a city or a town. Because that was the way to eliminate outside threats. But the problem is it didn't take care of the internal threats. If you need rescued over and over and over again, the problem's on the inside. It's not an external problem, it's an internal problem. The wall or another rescue, it's not going to do the trick. The lady who I heard say, you know, that Jesus is, you know, when we need rescue, that Jesus is the answer. She also said that we're not always smart enough. We seem to be smart enough to let God rescue us, okay? But we're not always smart enough after he rescues us to take refuge in him. We try to manage on our own. And where do we end up? Tied to the train tracks again. In need of rescue one more time. Now, my dictionary, it defines refuge as shelter from danger or trouble, a place or source of shelter or safety. Psalm 9, 1 to 11 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart, and I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Psalm 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. In Psalm 46, he says, in God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear? Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Shelah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Shelah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know, I was looking at the story of Elijah when he was sent to the brook to be fed by the ravens. And then he went with the woman who had just a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. And And what happened? God didn't let that dry up. He was their refuge. Even when her son died and Elijah prayed for him, God honored that and he brought him back. So God is our refuge. As we dwell in his shelter and safety, that's when he can use us to be his hands and feet when someone's in need of rescue. Because sometimes that's our job. You know, God sends us to help rescue someone in a moment of need for his glory, not for our glory. Philippians 2:1-5 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, as God becomes our refuge, completely, and the mind of Christ starts to become more and more the mind that we have and the mind that we work out of, which is all of our goal. We'll start to trust in our strength less and less. And you know, I saw something the other day that was a kind of a living example of this kind of. I got home the other night and I was sitting in front of the house and I was listening to the radio. I think I was listening to sports radio or something. And my neighbor next door, his name's Esteban, his mother and father got home. And they pulled in front of me, backed in front of me in their pickup truck. I opened the back. Dad got out a big bag of rice. And Esteban's mother, who is, I would imagine, 55 to 60 years old, not a very big woman, she got out a box of alcoholic beverages out of the back of the truck. About yay big, you know, handles on each, or hand spots on each end. And she did something that I haven't seen for a very long time. She picked it up and she put it on top of her head. And she carried it in the house on top of her head. She used her head for strength to carry a heavy load. And when I saw her walking across through there, God said to me, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and use it for your heavy lifting in all situations. You know, our refuge is not a place of fear or weakness. It's a place of ultimate strength. You know, that Philippians 2:5 in the J.B. Phillips says this, let your attitude to life be that of Jesus Christ himself. Wow. That's letting his mind be in you right there. That's all I have for you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Every one of us thanks you that you rescued each one of us in our moment of need, in our moment when nothing else but you would work. And it was about us coming to that point. You're always there. You always want us. You always want us to love you and acknowledge you. But I thank you for each story that's in this room of rescue. And Lord, I ask you to help each one of us, and I'm not telling this room full of people who've been in church and know you anything they don't know, Lord, but I pray that they let you be their refuge in a new way, in a deeper way, in a way that will free them more than they can imagine. Because we tend to start slipping back into the I can manage things myself mode. And we really need your mind. And we need to rely totally on you, Lord. So I just thank you for speaking to me, for sharing your word with me, Lord. I ask you just to bless my brothers and sisters that are here, Lord, and I just thank you for who and what you are, Lord, because you mean so very much to each one of us. Bless my brothers and sisters as they leave here, Lord, and just have your way, have your way, have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If anybody needs any kind of prayer, we're always here to pray with you. If not, have a blessed day.